I'm Frank Garza, and welcome to Here and Abroad, a podcast that follows the U.S. men's national team and their player pool across Europe, MLS, or wherever else they play their club football. The MLS season kicks off on February 21st when Inter Miami takes on Real Salt Lake. Today we're going to do an MLS season preview of sorts, but we're specifically going to focus on MLS-based players in the USMNT player pool. To help me do that, I've invited Fabian Rankel to join the show. Fabian is a freelance soccer writer and reporter based out of San Francisco. He currently writes for 90 Minute Football, SBI Soccer, and Forbes. Fabian, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Frank. What an intro, right? You even got the name right and everything, so I appreciate that. Thank you for having me on, and it's a pleasure to be here and talk MLS, something that I know a lot of, actually.
Yeah. Well, it's so nice to meet you in person. I see a lot of your work on X and out in the social media world, so it's good to have you on here, and can't wait to hear your thoughts on this MLS season coming up. And I want to start with something that I thought was kind of interesting during this winter transfer period. It seemed like there was a lot of U.S. internationals coming back to MLS. Of all the ones that came back, which one are you most excited to watch?
Honestly, Stefan, right? I think that has to be everybody, right? Everybody wants to see, with the goalkeeper position being kind of wide open for the USMNT, Petrovic was a good kind of MLS signing for Chelsea. So maybe quality in MLS isn't too bad at the goalkeeper position, right? So maybe you can find some sort of talent in MLS for a goalkeeper. And I think all the USMNT fans are going to be looking at Stefan and seeing, you know, can he get back into form? Maybe he, you know, has a good year and goes back into Europe, right? So it's something where he needs to find stable playing time. And I think all of us are going to be tuning in to at least Colorado Rapids game, or one or two, or even follow the highlights of the Colorado Rapids.
Yeah, he's the one I'm most interested to watch too. And I have to say, you know, I still feel bad for the guy, yeah. You know, being left out of the World Cup. And it seems like he was having a good season for Middlesbrough. Then he had the injury, yeah. And now he's back in MLS. It was pretty surprising to me. I thought he would have landed somewhere in Europe, but yeah, you're right. This goalkeeper, definitely, if you look at it in terms of like the three spots on the roster, is still kind of wide open. And I'm just so curious to see if he can get back in that top form to claim one of those spots.
And stay healthy, right? That's the biggest thing for him.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing is he's, I don't think I realized this until I was kind of doing a little research today, that he's only 28. I kind of thought of him as kind of old, and maybe he, not old, but like maybe he, it's too late for him to like go back to Europe, or it's too late for him to get back in, but he's still younger than Matt Turner. Matt Turner's 29. Right. And I found that to be a little surprising.
Yeah. I mean, goalies have such a long career, right? So it's definitely in the cards if he plays to his best ability. But yeah, usually when a USMNT goalkeeper comes here, it's like, all right, they're going to stay for a bit, or at least they're going to finish their career here. Yeah, Brad Guzan came over here, and it was like, is he going to play for the USMNT ever again? But yeah, maybe it's different for Stefan, right? Maybe with Turner not being in the best of form out in the EPL, it's wide open, in my opinion.
Yeah, and Colorado, you know, signed a lot of these U.S. internationals that came back. You know, Sam Vines, Jordy Mihalovic. I mean, what did you make of them signing all of these, you know, USMNT players and bringing them over from Europe?
Honestly, shocking and not shocking at the same time, right? Colorado has a history of signing, you know, Tim Howard, and that connection to the USMNT kind of player pool, to that fan base, is always something that's been there. Shocking in that they spent all the money to kind of get these guys, because Kroenke is not known for splashing the cash for Colorado. So it's something that, it's exciting. It's definitely exciting if you have a Burgundy jersey, that's for sure. But I think a lot of people are going to be watching those games because of those guys, those three guys that you just said, because it does have a lot of implications on the USMNT player pool. I mean, all those guys could win a spot on this Copa America. I mean, as a filler, not anything starting. I'm not doing no crazy takes yet, you know, but yeah, maybe as a filler, right? So definitely spots available in MLS to get onto that Copa America spot.
All right, you mentioned the Copa America, which is the next thing I wanted to talk about. And I'm thinking ahead to this Copa America roster. And if any MLS players, or maybe which MLS players have a chance of making the roster. And I want to take Miles Robinson off the board because I think that that makes the question too easy. If you take off Miles, which MLS player do you think has the best shot of making that that roster for the Copa America?
Can I cheat a little bit? Can I add any team in CONCACAF? Can we do that?
Sure, sure. Go for
okay.
it.
Okay, I think if Brandon Vasquez or Cade Cowell keep the form that they're in Liga MX, I think they have a good chance of making a sub kind of appearance for the Copa America squad. I think they can come off the bench, provide some depth. Brandon Vasquez hit a header for Monterrey that I've never seen any USMNT striker do, right? It was a long, it was like a rainbowing header that went under the bar and snuck in from almost, you know, almost outside of the box, really. But yeah, if you could, I mean, if Pulisic or Reyna can pass Brandon Vasquez in some good service, who knows, you know, maybe he becomes completely different of a player with the USMNT and just becomes a lethal striker in the air. Cause do we really have a lethal striker in the air, right? Yes, we have Balogun, but I wouldn't say that's a strong suit. I would say it's more of a, you know, aerial kind of threat that Vasquez is. I think that would perfectly slot him in. And then Cade Cowell, I'm looking at that Zendejas spot. I'm looking at some winger coverage for either position, and he could provide maybe some nine coverage too if you need a player that can stretch the back line. Just versatile players. But if we're going to go back to MLS, I would say out of the guys you kind of listed, I don't know, Jesus Ferreira could have been playing in Russia right now, and maybe we would have had a Brittany Griner situation or not, you know? So it's something where I think Jesus has the potential to play in Europe. I just haven't seen the right, you know, situation for him. And MLS even denied this situation for him. So I could see him kind of, you know, getting into good form and then providing some more depth. You can never say no to versatile players in the offense, right? So guys that can play multiple positions that Ferreira, Cal can do. And then I just think Brandon Vasquez can also provide some sort of difference in the offense too. Berhalter Ball is always not the prettiest, but if it gets the job done in Copa America.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned Vasquez because he has kind of a different profile as a striker to, you know, Balogun and Pepe kind of being that target striker. And I do remember for the 2022 World Cup, Berhalter saying that he had brought on Haji Wright specifically because he had kind of a different profile versus Josh Sargent and Jesus Ferreira, who are the other, you know, strikers he brought in. So, I agree with you, Cade Cowell. I feel like it's more likely he'll end up, you know, on the Olympic squad, yeah. But I mean, he's somebody that's been on the edge of the, I guess if you want to call it first team or A team roster, mm-hmm. you know, in 2023. And I love to watch him play, by the way, but you know, if I had to pick, the guy that was on my mind was Dewan Jones. He's another guy that has been called in the last, call it 6 months or so for some of these, like, camps that featured like the A team, first team.
Yeah.
He can play left back, which is kind of a position of need, you know, for the USMNT. I think he's kind of in a competition with Christopher Lund, you know, to get that spot. So I'm not saying he's going to do it, but I've liked what I've seen from Dewan Jones so far. He's surprised me, and I think he's on an upward trajectory with Greg Berhalter. What's your thoughts on him?
Yeah, that is a good pull. I mean, not the most flashiest name in MLS, I would say. But yeah, exactly. If it's in a position of need, that position is wide open too. I mean, we're talking about the number two, right? So I feel like, yeah, it is up for grabs. You know, the Revs, yeah, so the Revs have a new coach. He has to get kind of situated with that and see what his playing time looks like. Nick Lima is another player that's coming in to play an outside back position for them. So maybe they're expecting him to kind of not be there this season because they did bring in a couple of guys to provide some cover for them.
Yeah. Thank you for clarifying that. Yes, the number two left back position. I'm not saying he's going to come in and take over Anthony Robinson. I don't want anyone to start yelling at me.
No, I'm just protecting. For a fact, after I know this, he's like, oh, Fabian Rinkel says Dewan Jones is the best left back in America, right? So,
Yeah. I don't want to say that. one other thing I'll mention about, you know, MLS players, if we're talking about who has a shot at making it, you know, I went back and looked at the last three rosters, their last three camps that involve, like, you know, the first team. So I'm not counting like this recent January camp, but yeah, the September and October friendlies, the November Nations League. Mm-hmm. And going to put you on the spot here, Fabian. Trivia question. In between those three camps, how many MLS players do you think got called in to the roster or made the roster?
I want to say seven.
Seven. You're close. It was five, at least from my count.
Yeah.
DeJuan Jones, Miles Robinson, Drake Callender, Ben Kramaski, and Cade Cowell are the ones that I counted. So those are the guys that I think at least have been in the conversation, you know, in 2023.
Yeah.
And if that helps you kind of think about which guys might be able to kind of make that Copa America spot next year. And of course, as you say, Cade Cowell's in Liga MX, so he's kind of cheating a little bit.
Yeah, he is, right? So but I had to say it. He's playing good.
Let's stick with the Copa America, and you kind of, I think, gave me your answer to this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. When I go all the way back to the 2022 World Cup, there was 9 MLS based players on that roster, and I'm going to read them so everyone can kind of remember it. Sean Johnson, Aaron Long, Shaq Moore, DeAndre Yedlin, Walker Zimmerman, Kellen Acosta, Christian Roldan, Jesus Ferreira, and Jordan Morris. So of these 9 players, do you think any of them have a shot of making the Copa America? I know you mentioned Jesus Ferreira, but you think he's the only one, or do you think any other players have a shot?
Yeah, Yedlin is unfortunately, I would say, not there anymore. Watching Inter Miami kind of this preseason, I think his time has come up with the USMNT. Shaq Moore as well. I mean, he wasn't really, you know, turning any heads in MLS last season. Sean Johnson, even worse, right? Had a whole, not the best time in Toronto. Aaron Long is someone that was behind Chiellini last season and could have a good MLS season this year, where maybe he's in the conversation, but I don't think it's going to be something that's, you know, too different. Kellen Acosta just moved over to the Chicago Fire because unfortunately, lost a step with LAFC. A lot of these guys are getting older, right? And it really depends on what's the trajectory of them. Walker Zimmerman's someone that I feel like could, you know, he's not the fan favorite, but he's always someone that could bring a little bit of leadership to the group. And if let's say they get an injury at center back, maybe he's in the conversation again. I would take him over any of the other guys at the center back that are in MLS. So I still think Walker could be very close. The same with Jesus Ferreira. I don't think Jordan Morris is there. He's a little too streaky right now. Unless he bangs in about 25 goals, I don't see him being in the conversation.
Yeah, you know, I looked at this list long and hard, and I thought, man, do any of these guys have a shot? And I really think the answer is no for a lot of the reasons you mentioned. But the ones when I forced myself to kind of pick one, I was debating between Walker Zimmerman and Jesus Ferreira, who sounds like, you know, that's what you said as well. I mean, because Walker Zimmerman, yeah, if there's a couple injuries, you know, there's a lot of young center backs in Europe. Maybe they stop getting playing time. And if you just need to plug somebody in that you know Berhalter trusts, he's a solid option. You know,
right.
And then Jesus Ferreira, maybe he gets hot and starts scoring goals. And that's the thing as a striker or number nine, if you're scoring goals, you can get yourself into a conversation, you know, pretty quickly.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're both agreeing there, right? Those two guys, I would say, you know, maybe the decline of Walker Zimmerman isn't that big. It's kind of like one of those older trucks, all those Broncos. They don't really lose too much value, right?
Yeah.
Or they don't appreciate. Yeah. And then Jesus Ferreira, you know, he could still move to Europe. So it's something where he's on the fringe.
Yeah. Okay, let's switch it up a little bit. And let's talk about like young MLS rising stars, you know, who you think could be impactful players for the USMNT in the coming years. Maybe they're already playing for like one of the youth national teams. Maybe they're one of the, you know, players we expect to make the Olympics. But who's some of those players you have your eye on and you'll be watching closely when the season kicks off?
Yeah, look, this one's really close to home for me. Nico Seguras is expected to, you know, really step up into that 10 role for the San Jose Earthquakes, as they haven't signed anybody yet and they just lost Jamiro Montero. They really, really rate Nico and they want him to make that next step in his development. He was a guy who, if I'm not mistaken, on the U20 roster, he was like, not supposed to be there, but he was there, right? Because he just impressed and it was a position that they needed some cover in. And I think he could, you know, make that next step in his development this year. have a whole bunch of assists in MLS and could have that trajectory to go to Europe too. And he's still extremely young. If I'm not mistaken, he's about 18. So definitely has a whole bunch of soccer to play. Another player that I keep my eye on, and I think a lot of USMNT people know, is John Tolkien, J.M.I. Tolkien. I think he's a position player that, you know, maybe hasn't had the best time with USMNT, but plays extremely well for the Red Bulls. That's someone who can get hot, make a jump to Europe in the summer, and then all of a sudden he's on people's radars, right? That one's kind of an easy one, but I would say Nico is definitely one that I could say personally that a lot of people are expecting him to make that next step in his development.
Tell me a little bit more about Nico. I don't think I've ever watched him play before. What kind of player is he?
Yeah, so I would say he's a creative 10. He has no he's not scared of getting the ball at all. I mean, this kid's so aggressive. He gets the ball and finds somebody right away, or he even tries to take it himself. Maybe not the flashiest of 10s, but definitely could provide some good cover and was one of the better subs for the Quakes last year. He would come in and completely change the XG, really. And that's what made the Quakes actually eventually not re-sign Jameer Montero, because Montero had a great AFCON showing with Cape Verde, that whole Cinderella story. But still, the Quakes said, no, we have Nico, and we're expecting him to at least have a bigger role next season. So the Quakes rate him highly. A player a little on the shorter side, if you don't know his physical stature, but great on the ball, you know, has no fear when he goes up against any defender. And is looking to get that last ball in or will go to goal. So aggressive, young player, and he's extremely talented, I would say.
Does he have a similar style of like a Diego Luna?
Yeah, I would say yes, but maybe a little more centrally. I see Diego play a lot more on the wing, but I would say very similar, maybe a little less flashy. I know Diego likes to kind of maybe go for the highlight reel sometimes, but I like that about Diego too. So I would say more of a coach's player, right? So kind of head down, young player, but gets the job done and has Luchi Gonzalez's faith, you know, has his backing.
Well, I will tune into a Quakes game and look out for Nico.
Yeah.
For the way you describe him, sounds like a fun player to watch.
Definitely shocked everybody.
Yeah, so the one other player I'll mention is Esmer Bayraktarević. He's somebody that really caught my eye in this January friendly against Slovenia. And I know a lot of people, I I'm not the only one. A lot of people are going to be watching him as well. So he's another just young player that caught my eye in the January camp that I can't wait to watch this season.
Yeah, he caught everybody's eye, right? Like, he was the player that was really, like, outshining everybody, but it was something to be seen. Another player I just remembered was Brian Gutierrez. A lot of people are seeing that Chicago side and thinking that he needs to make that next step in development. Got the big contract last year from Chicago Fire, and honestly, they expect this kid to be in Europe someday. You know, if next year is that or the year after that is that. But I would say that's another name to keep an eye out for because he hasn't gotten a USMNT cap. He's played a lot for the youth sides, but hasn't gotten that senior cap. So that's a player that I could see in the next couple of years maybe being in the conversation as well.
All right. I will look out for him as well. And speaking of some of these, you know, young rising stars, you know, whenever I think of these young MLS players, I start to think, okay, eventually they're going to be heading to Europe. And so that's what I want to talk about next. Is which players from MLS and the USMNT player pool, I always got to put that little caveat on there, do you think are most likely to get a summer transfer, which would be, you know, basically the midpoint of the MLS season, you know, and go over to Europe? Doesn't have to be a young player, but I just like to hear who you think's most likely to be, you know, heading to Europe in the summer transfer window.
Yeah, look, I think we already talked about them a little bit, but Ferreira, I can't see him staying too much longer, especially after they FC Dallas just got Musa, spent $10 million to kind of get a striker. Yes, they're going to have a good kind of half of the season, but they're expecting Velasco to come back. So that kind of gets Ferreira without a position. So I do expect Ferreira not to be there for too much longer. Another player was John Tolkien. This is a player that I could see, you know, landing in the championship, or, I mean, this is a little much, but you know, low end kind of EPL. Who knows, right? Maybe a team that needs some outside back strength, and they look at Anthony Robinson and say, "Hey, America can do it right now." But those two guys I could see really making that next step. Another player was Duncan Maguire, right? A player that we thought was going to be transferred at least 8 times. His agent's talking up a storm. But yeah, that whole transfer saga is insane. If you guys haven't heard about it, definitely look at Tom Bogert's reports on it, because it was back and forth with Blackburn. But yeah, I don't see him. I don't know. I don't even see him in Orlando because of his agent, you know? So I think that's another player that can be on the move. Yeah, there's going to be some movement from the USMNT side, from MLS to Europe. And shoot, even Brandon Vasquez can get a shock offer because he's just doing so much with Monterrey, and who knows, right? He could probably make a move too.
Yeah, Duncan Maguire, he's definitely going to go. I mean, he has 1 foot out the door. I mean, I feel, yeah, that was, you can't help but feel for that guy. That was a awful situation. And Jesus Ferreira, I hope you're right. You know, I really want to see, there's a lot of Jesus Ferreira haters out there amongst like the USMNT fans, and I'm not one of them. I like the guy, and I want to see what he can do. I mean, I think that, yeah, I don't think he's likely to break in the team. I don't think he's likely to break back into the USMNT first team while he's in MLS. I mean, like we talked about, if he gets on like a hot streak, who knows?
Right.
But I really think he's a guy that needs to get to Europe to kind of like prove himself over there. And I'm just really curious to see what he can do there. Can he be productive there? He's still young. He's talented. And so I hope you're right. I'd love to see him get a transfer, you know, and see what he can do.
Yeah, it's a bit shocking to see MLS kind of block a transfer from happening. I've never seen it so out in the open like that. But yeah, I mean, if somebody's willing to pay that much for him, then there has to be another suitor that says, okay, if he's doing well right now, then maybe Zenit wasn't too far off, you know?
Well, Fabian, thank you so much for being on the show. I'll make sure and put links in the show notes to your X account, which is at Fabian Renkel, and also to your work at 90 Minute Football, SBI Soccer, and Forbes.
Thank you.
Before I let you go, is there anywhere else you'd like to send people, or any final thoughts you'd like to share about, you know, this upcoming MLS season or anything else?
Yeah, support local soccer, even if it's not MLS. Go to a local soccer game, NPSL, USL, doesn't matter. Just support. Ah, how about this? Go to a US Open Cup game. Support that tournament, as that tournament needs your help right now. I know it's not the, you know, best topic to talk about right now, but who knows? Maybe you'll enjoy a Cinderella story playing against an MLS Next Pro team. Like maybe Sacramento wins it all this year, right? So it'll be interesting, and then go ahead and support local soccer for sure.
Thank you, Fabian.
Yeah, thank you.
And thanks to everyone for listening to Here and Abroad. If you enjoyed the episode, please share it with a fellow USMNT fan. I'm Frank Garza. You can follow me on X at FrankGarza007, and I'll be back next week with a new episode.